Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. This is the Cryptoconomy Podcast, and I am your host, Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And guess what we're going to do today? We're going to read about Bitcoin. Holy crap. I know this is a huge divergence from the usual subject matter that we cover on this podcast, but we're going to do it today because that's what I want to do. All right, so before we get started, again, we are getting closer and closer to the BitBlock Boom Conference. Do not forget, if you want to join me, that is on August 17th and 18th. That is a weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in Dallas. And if you are going to be getting those tickets, the sooner the cheaper. So be sure to get those. The next price increase, I believe, is on August 1st. And in the meantime, you can get a 30% discount with my coupon code CC for Cryptoconomy. So if you go to bitblockboom.com and buy your tickets, do not forget to throw in that discount code CC. All right. What are we going to talk about today? We are going to read another amazing one from the best publication in the Bitcoin space, and that is none other than Bitcoin Magazine. And we are reading one from the best writer in the Bitcoin space, Aaron Von Werdum, I believe. I looked up. I've been calling him Aaron Von Werdum for a while. And I asked him while we were at Bitcoin 2019 if that's how you pronounce it. He says, not really. And I was like, shit. So I have no idea how to pronounce his name properly. There's a couple of different pronunciations online for Werdum. But we are reading his amazing piece on Bitcoin Magazine, Breaking Down State Chains. This is a topic that we have not yet covered on this show, I do not believe. I think I've mentioned it maybe a couple of times talking with people. But I have not hit a specific piece on this. And this is a really good technical breakdown. Aaron always has great ones on this kind of stuff. And it's titled State Chains, Sending Keys, Not Coins, to Scale Bitcoin Off-Chain. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this piece, and then we will do some discussing about how I think this could, this kind of model could go forward and kind of what I think about it in general. All right, so let's jump into State Chains, Sending Keys, Not Coins, to Scale Bitcoin Off-Chain. Block space is limited. The Bitcoin blockchain can only process some 10 transactions per second at most. To resolve this, Bitcoin's technical community is developing second-layer protocols that process transactions off-chain, such as the Lightning Network and sidechains. Using clever cryptographic tricks, these transactions are batched to periodically settle on the Bitcoin blockchain as a single transaction. Now, a new second-layer protocol is entering the fray. State Chains, first proposed by Seoul Bitcoin Meetup organizer and Unhashed podcast co-host Ruben Sompson, turns the concept of a Bitcoin transaction on its head. Instead of sending coins from address to address, State Chain users just send the private key that can be used to spend the coins. Here's why that's not as crazy as it sounds. Why state chains are secure, more or less. Simplified, a Bitcoin transaction is just a message that says which coins, or UTXOs, move from which addresses, inputs, to which addresses, outputs. This message is cryptographically signed with the private keys corresponding to the sending addresses, proving that the owner of these coins created the transaction. The bundle, the transaction plus signatures, is then sent over the Bitcoin network to eventually be included in a Bitcoin block by a miner. it is technically possible to just send private keys as payment instead. This allows the recipient of the private key to spend the associated coins. But it is not secure. If the sender, let's be original and call her Alice, sends a private key to the recipient, why not call him Bob? There is no way for Bob to be sure Alice didn't keep a copy of the key. If she did keep a copy of the key, which we'll call the transitory key in this context, Alice can still spend the coin on the blockchain, so the coin isn't exclusively Bob's at all. StateChain's first solution to this problem is to add a second key to the mix. By locking the coin into a 2-of-2 multi-signature or multi-sig setup, it can only be moved on the blockchain if both keys sign in agreement. The second key is generated by a neutral party, Victor, who becomes the facilitator of the state chain. Victor has a very important task. Victor must sign a transaction if and only if the last recipient of the transitory key asks him to. So let's say Alice sets up a state chain with Victor as the facilitator. Alice generates a transitory key. Victor generates Victor's key, and they use their two keys to create a multi-sig address. Alice then sends one Bitcoin to this address, locking it up between Alice and Victor. Now, if Alice wishes to send the coin to Bob, she could create a transaction, sign it with the transitory key, and ask Victor to sign it as well. With both signatures, Alice can broadcast the transaction, sending the coin to Bob as a regular blockchain transaction. But that, of course, misses the point of the state chain. Alice has a better idea. Alice instead sends the transitory key to Bob and tells Victor that she did that. This makes Bob the last recipient of the transitory key. Bob can now contact Victor and ask him for a signature to help move the coin. Alice does still have the transitory key herself as well. However, now, if she were to ask Victor to help sign a transaction to move the coin, Victor would refuse. Alice no longer owns the coin as far as Victor is concerned, and since she only holds the transitory key, she is indeed unable to move it on her own. Should Bob ever want to move the coins to someone else, say Carol, he could, of course, repeat the state chain trick. When he sends the transitory key to Carol and tells Victor, Victor will only cooperate with Carol from then on, effectively making the coin Carol's. This process can be repeated an arbitrary number of times, forwarding the transitory key to Dan, Aaron, Frank, and so on, without ever requiring a blockchain transaction. Not trusting Victor. The scenario as described above doesn't actually remove all trust from the system. Rather, a good deal of trust is put on Victor. For one, if Victor doesn't sign a blockchain transaction when requested, the coin cannot be moved at all. Maybe Victor's computer crashed, or he got hit by a bus, or maybe Victor, aware of his power, blackmails the last recipient of the transitory key to pay him part of the coin in return for the signature. This problem can be solved, but this is where the state chain design gets slightly more complex. When she initially sets up the state chain, Alice takes a precautionary step. Even before sending the coin to the multi-sig address, she creates a backup transaction that sends the coin from this multi-sig address to a new address. The coin can be spent from this new address under two conditions. Either both Victor and the owner of the transitory key sign the transaction, like normal, or Alice can spend the coins on her own after, say, a week. Alice does not broadcast this backup transaction to the Bitcoin network. Instead, she gives it to Victor, asks him to sign the transaction, and has him give it back to her. Only after Alice has received this signed but as yet not broadcasted backup transaction from Victor does she send her coin to the multi-sig address. This way, even if Victor disappears, she can broadcast the backup transaction and claim the coins back after a week. Now, when Alice wants to send the transitory key to Bob, she first contacts Victor and ask him to sign a new backup transaction for Bob and give it to him. So when Bob gets the transitory key from Alice, he already has an unbroadcasted but signed backup transaction from Victor, allowing him to claim the coin if Victor disappears. As one final touch, Alice and Bob, and all subsequent owners of the transitory key, use a trick designed for the Lightning Network called L2. L2 would allow Bob to override Alice's backup transaction with his own backup transaction. So if Alice ever tries to cheat by broadcasting her old backup transaction, Bob can either use the week that Alice needs to wait to cooperate with Victor and claim the coin, or he can simply override Alice's update transaction with his own to get the money. First problem solved. Trusting Victor a bit. While the problem of Victor disappearing is solved, there is another problem. Victor could cheat. He could collude with a previous owner of the private key, like Alice, to steal the coin from Bob, Carol, Dan, Aaron, Frank, or whoever was the last recipient of the transitory key. He could later also collude with Bob to steal from Carol, Dan, Aaron, Frank, and so on, so forth. This problem cannot actually be solved entirely, and this is perhaps the biggest drawback of state chains, but the risk can be minimized. One step toward minimizing the risk is to split up Victor and replace him with several entities. Victor's key is divided. It thus becomes a multi-sig setup of its own, where, say, 8 participants out of, say, 12 must cooperate with the transitory key holder to move the coin. Colluding with 8 Victors should be harder than colluding with just one Victor. Second, it can be made obvious to the outside world if these Victors cheat. This is done by essentially creating a new miniature blockchain, indeed, the state chain, where Alice, Bob, Carol, and the others sign a message confirming they've forwarded the coin and to whom. If the Victors collude with Alice to spend the coin after she signed it off to Bob on the state chain, everyone sees. The details of what this miniature blockchain itself would look like aren't exactly worked out yet, but this is not a very difficult problem to solve. Third, these Victors could be well-known entities, for example, a group of Bitcoin companies. These companies would have their reputations on the line and therefore have something to lose by cheating, even if they could earn a coin by doing so. While not cryptographically perfect, this makes the security assumption for state chains similar to federated side chains, like Blockstream's Liquid or the current implementation of Rootstock Labs' RSK. And that's it. Limitations of state chains and potential solutions. On top of the required trust in the victors not to collude with a previous state chain participant, state chains do have some limitations. Limitations. The first thing to note is that, as they are explained in this article, state chains do require 2 protocol upgrades, Schnorr signatures and SIGHASH any previous out, or something similar. Both of these upgrades are works in progress but seem unlikely to be contentious. Another limitation is that state chains only allow for the transfer of whole UTXOs, Alice's coin in the context of this article. Since Alice initially locked up exactly 1 Bitcoin and she sends the transitory key corresponding to this Bitcoin, she must pass on the whole coin, and so must Bob, Carol, and the others. This is a pretty big limitation compared to a normal Bitcoin transaction in which any fraction of a coin can be spent, with the remainder returned to the sender as change. Solutions. Still, this is not necessarily a showstopper. For one, state chains can be combined with another trick called atomic swaps. This move would allow Alice to exchange her whole coin with Zach, who has 2 half coins, in such a way that neither needs to trust the other not to back out of the trade halfway. All this can happen without requiring an on-chain transaction. This increases flexibility. Second, even transferring whole UTXOs can be very useful in some contexts. Perhaps most interestingly, it would allow participants to transfer entire Lightning channels. By balancing a Lightning channel to the exact right amount, for example, by first paying herself in a different channel, Alice can still pay Bob a fraction of the coin. As a bonus, this could let Bob open Lightning channels immediately without requiring an on-chain funding transaction, which takes time and fees. Plus, since Lightning transactions have the opposite problem, large value transfers are harder to complete than smaller ones, state chains and the Lightning network could complement each other quite nicely. Privacy questions. It's also not yet clear how much privacy state chains could offer exactly. In a worst-case scenario, the victors and other participants in the state chain would know exactly who paid whom, although in reality these would still be public keys, not real names. There are ways to improve this when it comes to the victors, using blind signatures, a cryptographic trick first proposed by eCash inventor David Chaum in the 1980s, for example, has the added benefit of being able to offload responsibility for transactions from the victors to the users themselves. The victors would ideally not even know what they'd sign. Privacy from other participants could in turn be solved with atomic swaps as well, which would help obfuscate the chain of ownership. There are probably more solutions to improve privacy, like CoinJoin adaptations. This is, for example, also what the privacy-preserving Wasabi wallet uses, but details have yet to be worked out. There are also some concerns about past participants in the chain trying to cheat by trying to claim coins through the backup transaction. While this would be unlikely to succeed, it would only cost an on-chain transaction fee to try, so opportunist cheating behavior might limit state chains' potential. Finally, state chains are, of course, a relatively new concept. Peer review is ongoing. Thanks to Ruben Sompson for information and feedback. For more information on state chains, see his explainer on Medium or his presentation at Breaking Bitcoin in Amsterdam. All right, and that will wrap up our piece by Aaron von Verdum on state chains, sending keys, not coins, to scale Bitcoin off-chain. And again, that was published on BitcoinMagazine.com, which you should definitely be checking out. And you should obviously be following Aaron. If you were not, I have no idea what you were doing with your life. Go do that right now. I will link and tag and all that good jazz on Twitter and the show notes. Okay, so before we jump into this, I really want to talk about state chains. I've been reading about it quite a bit and thinking about it quite a bit lately. So let's go ahead and hit our sponsor for today's episode, and we will jump right back into this. All right, so before we jump into state chains, I want to talk a little bit about my eToro trade that I've got going on here. And if you listen to Friday's episode and bet with me, well, I'll have you know that my trade is doing really, really great with a $50 loss. And so it's a 1% loss, okay? Okay, so, you know, not too bad. You know, I'm just losing money lightly in my fake account here, or my virtual account here on eToro. But, so if you bet against me, maybe you're doing like a little bit okay, but pretty much over the last 3 days, the price is really not moved very much. It did like pop up and then like come back down, but it's basically like right where it was, very close to where it was when I bought it. So, we'll keep a close eye on that. Price right now is 10,342, and I think I bought it at like 370 or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm holding. We'll see where this goes. I'll keep you updated in the next episode. All right, so state chains. This is a really interesting concept. It's funny how, because I've thought for a while, like the open dime idea, the idea of giving someone else the private key and trying to revoke it from a previous person is actually a really interesting concept. And that was one of the things that I thought of, like, would there be a possible, like, could you create a system that did that when I first read about L2? Because that seems like a key. Like, you're building in a sequence of keys that are essentially off-chain, and you're able to revoke the previous one from the new one. But what's funny about this design, really, is that it's eerily similar to the Lightning Network. Like, the backup transaction, the precautionary step that you take of the time lock, if the second party doesn't show up, Victor in this case, that's pretty much the exact same system, the same HTLC setup that is done with the Lightning Network updates, is that if the person that is in your multisig with you doesn't show up, okay, well, we'll have a 1 week delay on removing the coins from that particular address or from that particular set of keys. But the trust involved in this one makes it feel a lot more sidechain-ish. In fact, one could almost argue that this is sort of a sidechain, except for the differentiation in the fact that it is a quote-unquote state chain, is that the sidechain is not using normal Bitcoin transactions to exchange the coins from one key to another. You're exchanging the keys. So I guess it makes sense that you would name this something else, but it almost feels like, because of the trust model and how it works, it does feel eerily similar to a sidechain. But technically, you don't actually have to keep a quote-unquote state chain like a blockchain, even though it would obviously make more sense to do that because you have the record there that people can reference as a way of knowing whether, like, a public way of showing, even without giving up your privacy per se, but a public way of showing who has the final state of the key, who is holding the key in the most recent update, I guess you could say. But this really changes the dynamics of what it means to send a UTXO. Because you can imagine, like what would it look like if this actually got widely adopted and you started doing something like this? What this does, like in the context of like OpenDime or something, where you like exchange like one OpenDime with like 0.1 Bitcoin on it or one whole Bitcoin on it or something like that, it's the equivalent of a virtual Bitcoin bill. Like a UTXO becomes not a paper bill, but a virtual one, a digital one that you continually exchange hands. And you actually have a bill issuer, a note issuer. So this would essentially be a Bitcoin note in the digital sense, where you set up a bunch of UTXOs, and it would be interesting to see a wallet that was, instead of holding one key and a bunch of sub-addresses and keys or hashes generated from that key, constantly, which is what an address is, essentially, collecting all of these things from one key. What if you had a wallet that just kept hundreds of keys from all of the denominations of Bitcoin that you had in your wallet? Like, what if this got widely adopted as a system, if it turned out that this was really useful, and you had a bunch of major companies going in and issuing their quote-unquote UTXO notes, in a sense, well, then you could have a bunch of 0.1 denominations, which would be big bills, like $100 or $1,000 bills. You can have a bunch of 0.05, bunch of 0.01, a bunch of like keep going down the line. And then when somebody wanted to spend, $1,000, like 0.142 Bitcoin, well, what they would send you are the transitory keys for 1.1 UTXO, 4.01 UTXOs, et cetera, like you would just break it up like change. And you'd have these virtual bills to deal with, and your wallet would then store all these transitory keys. So you would actually have a separate key for your 0.1, your four individual 0.01s, your 0.003s, like all that good stuff. So it's actually really interesting. It's very analogous to what we do with cash, except that obviously in this sense, the bank note, the issuer of the notes, if it's like a federated sidechain style group of people or group of companies, well, in that same way, you're trusting that there will be redemption from the bank. You can see that the UTXOs are in fact there, but you still have a degree of trust that they're not going to collude with one of the previous owners, that they're going to adhere and properly enforce the terms of the contract as written, but it's not actually 100% enforceable by yourself because you're still trusting that second key. And even though we can break that key up with a lot of different participants, that's still a very different trust relationship because you still, whoever is part of that key, still must be honest, must be an honest player, and they must be, in order to be this, for this to be permissionless, they need to be uncensorable. It needs to be a permissionless system. So I don't know, maybe they need to be anonymous, but then at the same time, then you immediately run the risk of what if you lose the effectiveness of being able to keep them in check if they're anonymous. So you do need this kind of public banknote, but then you immediately have these are the 12 companies that I need to go to exert my pressure on anybody holding these state chain keys. So it's a really interesting setup, but it is it's definitely a degree removed of the trustless censorship resistance and permissionlessness of Bitcoin, more so, in my opinion, than the Lightning Network. The Lightning Network, you always, as the custodian of the actual keys, you always have the ability to withdraw from the contract at any time by yourself. And you do in this case as well, but you can be overridden with enough people colluding against you. In Lightning Network, you really can't. As long as you can broadcast and you are watching the network, nobody can collude to take it because you are the final say. You're the one with the keys to your half of the transaction. They would literally have to take your keys. That's the only way. But it immediately opens up this huge question of what all the other different ways that we can transact and move, exchange the ownership of UTXOs that just aren't exactly, that don't work the same way that Bitcoin works. Like, how many different ways can we, we might be able to do this. We might be able to figure out a way to create a layer where you're just exchanging keys back and forth, and there's a contract enforcing our ability to do that. And I really like that he actually mentions, because this is was one of my first thoughts, was that what if we could have a federated sidechain style set up for Victor's key, and they were actually using blind signatures, because this was the essence of eCash that David Chum set up with DigiCash company back in the day, was it was a blind signature system where you could move money from bank A to bank B, and the banks would not actually know who was moving the money. Like, it would be a blind signature. They would just be validating the transaction. That was part of the reason, I think. Well, there were a lot of other reasons and a lot of other factors, and people talked about David Chaum not being much of a, not making good business decisions. But obviously, there's a lot of resistance to the banks setting that up because it puts them kind of in a liability situation, and the token itself is still just in the hands of the bank. We're still talking about exchanging dollars from bank A to bank B that are entirely under the control and ownership of the bank. But obviously, that type of system could easily be used in this scenario where we have a blind signature and we don't actually have a full custodial relationship. It is still a trust minimized, or at least a trust divided situation, and it could lead to a very interesting and possibly highly used scaling vector for Bitcoin. I mean, this would be better, in my opinion, than I'm going to deposit into a bank, a custodial bank, and exchange my coins, and just take a centralized database, like the Coinbase example. You know, I can send money to other people in Coinbase, and Coinbase has full control. Like, this is definitely preferable to that situation, in my opinion. And I also like the idea that atomic swaps could be used to atomic swap from one state chain set of UTXOs to a completely different state chain UTXOs, so that you could just swap denominations. Like the example said, you know, Alice and I don't remember who the other person is, we'll say Bob here, has one UTXO of 0.1 Bitcoin. And then let's say Bob has 10 UTXOs of 0.01 Bitcoin, well, then, you know, she can exchange that and essentially get change back. You know, she's given a $10 bill to the person at the register and getting 10 individual dollars back, you know, so she can go to the strip club and put in somebody's G-string. That's obviously what we're going to do with our digital virtual Bitcoin notes. But you get the idea. Like, it's a very interesting concept. And the fact that we can bridge this so many different ways. And no, the coolest thing, I said that was cool, but the coolest thing was the ability to actually exchange the entire Lightning channel. That you could give your keys away with a state chain of a Lightning, of a full Lightning contract, like, balance, and just basically be like, okay, I don't want to use this channel anymore. I'm going to shift all these balances over to my other channels because I've already spent a lot, and, you know, I need liquidity back on my end, and I want to close this channel. But instead of closing it, I'll just sell it to somebody else, and I'll send the transitory key to them, and then they will have the Lightning channel. That is the coolest use of this that I could see. And it would be an off-chain exchange of an off-chain contract with the Lightning network. And that would just... trying to wrap my head around exactly all the keys and situations and way that would work is a whole nother story. But it's really, really fun to think about. And just a crazy, crazy use case for this, particularly when we're talking about in the context of a banknote or a Bitcoin banknote that... in this case, would be a fluid banknote. You get a note that's a Lightning channel. So just really interesting dynamics. Such a cool technology. I wanted to just read through this just so I could kind of shoot off. I know a lot of people probably have heard of state chains and maybe just didn't know exactly what it was and what it entailed.
So I figured this would be a really good one to hit on the show.
And a huge thank you to Bitcoin Magazine for always having the best explanations for this. And obviously, applause to Aaron Von Verdam for always having, always putting these pieces together very quickly and just making it, I mean, that's unbelievably simple and easy to understand. He's always been pivotal. Every time he comes out with one of the technical pieces, I pretty much read it every time. He is definitely one to always be following. Do not forget to check that out. I will link to both Bitcoin Magazine and Aaron's Twitter page to stay up to date on that. And I guess that will finish us for the day. I don't think I have anything else to say about state chains. Just some really cool tech, and just goes to show how many different concepts and different ways we might be able to add layers to this system that create highly minimized trust relationships or completely different ideas of what it means to send a UTXO or own a UTXO on the Bitcoin system. So it's very, very fascinating stuff. Thank you to Ruben Thompson for coming up with this idea. It's a really, really interesting concept. And it's going to make me read a lot more about L2 because I still have not completely wrapped my head around how the key derivation works in L2. How do you create multiple keys in a sequence from one? So we will obviously be talking about more of this stuff in the future, so stick with us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Google Play, whatever it is that you're listening to this on. Don't forget to subscribe and follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And this is where we're going to talk about all the technical stuff that's exploding in this space, the philosophy that has led to the creation of this and is embedded in this protocol and what we are trying to do, the privacy implications of all of this and the new privacy tech that we're trying to build. So many great things. We're building a whole new economy, and this is where we are going to talk, read, and discuss about every bit of it from the top to the bottom. So don't forget to share this out with everybody you know in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space so they too can hear all of the best articles and discussion going on in the Bitcoin space right now. Until next time, this has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. I'm Guy Swan, signing off. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.